If you would turn with me this Lord's Day evening to Matthew 24, and our text is verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In Revelation 22, verse 20, we read, "Dear congregation, surely I come quickly." And there our Lord makes abundantly plain that he will come again. It is certain. There's no doubt about it. Though many tonight, as we shall note a little later, dismiss this great truth, there is no doubt he is coming again. However, the day and the hour of his return is known only to God, as we note there in verse 36. We do not know. We do not even know what is going to happen on the morrow. We may have our plans, but we do not know. We read in Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We do not know what is on the morrow. How we need to be so careful. We do not know what is on the morrow. And consider this further tonight. We do not know the day nor the hour when the Lord will return. This being so, as we note these verses here tonight, are we ready? Are we ready for the Lord's return? This great event one day is coming. On that day he will be so exalted as he comes to judge the world. Are you ready for the coming of Christ? Now sadly, many on that day will not be ready, as our Lord makes plain here in his discourse. We note there in verse 38, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now here in the 24th chapter, in the first three verses, we have the occasion of our Lord's discourse. And then in the discourse itself, from verse 4, our Lord foretelleth the destruction of the temple, which took place in AD 70. And in view of that, of those signs and calamities that would come before, and they did come before. He then secondly foretold his disciples of his return, his second coming, when he will come to judge the world. Now coming to our text tonight, verse 36, there are those who believe it was said in light of AD 70. However, others, including myself particularly, consider that we go on to consider it in view of our Lord's second coming. If you in your own time cross-reference Luke 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, and 2 Peter 3, verses 10 to 12, it plainly appears that these words are in view particularly of our Lord's second coming. Now, in view of his return, we come to our text. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." I'd like us to consider, first of all, tonight, the return of Christ. And then secondly, unprepared for the return of Christ. And then thirdly, ready for the return of Christ. We think of his return, and then unprepared, and then thirdly, ready. First of all, the return of Christ. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." Our Lord is thinking here of when he will come again. The day, the very hour. In the upper room, he said to his disciples, not long before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I will come again. Dear brethren, listen to those words and take encouragement in them. We look out on this nation and on this world, and there is much to discourage. We only have to look back to Wednesday in Parliament, and there's much to discourage us. Where is our nation going? More and more will be found working on the Lord's Day, longer hours. Less will be found in the house of God. There is much to discourage. There is much to trouble us. Look what's happened in America recently. But things will not last forever. He is coming again. When we consider all the wickedness in this world, it will not last forever. He is coming again. I will come again. In Revelation 22, verse 20, he said, "Surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly." Take comfort in those words. Do not allow yourself to be disturbed. Take comfort. Do not allow any seed of doubt to arise in your mind. He will come again. Now we live in a day where earthly mindedness is promoted all around us. We're to look up. How important that is. As we come to our text, we're reminded that the Lord is coming. We're to look up. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Look up, dear brethren, dear congregation. He is coming. Dear brethren, do not we find ourselves taking comfort and find ourselves joining in with those words in Revelation 22, verse 20. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Are you longing for the coming of Christ? Oh, what a day it will be, such a solemn day. There will be the judgment, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But what a day it will be when the Saviour says to his people, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." And we will go with Christ into that heavenly world, and then forever with the Lord. When did you ask the Lord to come? "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In the Song of Solomon, "Make haste, my beloved." You're longing for his coming, but also in the meanwhile, seeking to occupy, seeking to live for him. Oh, what a day it will be. Turn over the page to chapter 25 and verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." There will be the shining of his excellency. He shall come in such glory. And on that day, the whole world and all who have ever lived will be struck with the majesty of the King. Now on that day, he will come in the clouds. Revelation 1 verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." What a day it will be. We'll see him come in the clouds. And as we think of his return further, there will be fire. In a moment, we're going to sing of his coming in Psalm 50, verse 3 and 4. "Our God," it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, "our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people." Such power will be revealed on that day. There will be fire before him. He will be attended by his holy angels. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." What a sight it will be. And then there'll be a shout. There will be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. The graves will be opened. What a day that will be. Every grave will be opened. The sea will give up her dead. And there will be great awe instilled in the hearts of men. They will be so struck with his majesty. Such awe will be instilled in their hearts. The judge has come. What a day when the King returns. Now what do we read here in verse 36? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now questions have been raised when we come to this text. Well, simply here, our Lord as man did not have the knowledge, but as God, he did. Our Lord as man, thinking of his human nature, did not have the knowledge, but as God, he did. And that's why we read them, particularly in view of his human nature, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. J.C. Ryle points out on this occasion that our Lord spake as a man. Now there is mystery. He is God. Yet in view of his human nature, there was a withholding. There's great mystery here. Listen again to Ryle. But though we see clearly and admire, we cannot explain. We think of the two natures in one person. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There was a withholding in view of his human nature, but as God he knew. Now the event is certain, but the time is only known to God. We do not know the precise time. Yes, there are signs of his coming, but not of the precise time. In days past, charts have been drawn up, supposedly telling us when the Lord is coming. There used to be one of these charts over the pulpit in Salisbury. And the minister who's there now was interviewed many years ago by the office bearers to see if he would become the minister. And they interviewed him and he said this, well, if I come, that chart must go down, come down. And he said this, the deacon rather said to him, I'm glad you said that because we never understood it anyway. And those charts need to come down because what do we read here? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Some thought he would come in the year 1000. Young ones, you know that that was not right. Did you realize that there are many people in America thinking the Lord is going to come to this world on the 25th of September this year? They're wrong. What do we read here? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So many are looking to this year, September, 2 months' time, as the date when the Lord will return. So many. It's quite staggering. How many think he's coming in 2 months' time, on a particular time? No man knoweth the hour. The Lord could come tonight. Some are looking to a particular time. Now even good men have pointed to a day. I remember a number of years ago, before the year 2000, saying to my father, I can never imagine this world being still here in the year 2000. 15 years ago, how wrong I was. Only God knows. Now as our days are determined by him, Job 14 verse 5, so is time itself. There is the coming last day. Only God alone knows. In John 12, verse 48, we read, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He's coming on the last day, the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, as he made plain to Martha. But we do not know. The clock is ticking down. The day is coming, but we do not know when. We need therefore to be ready for the return of Christ. Well, let's consider secondly tonight unprepared for the return of Christ. Unprepared for the return of Christ. Now there were those who were not ready for the judgment in AD 70. And there will be many who will not be ready for the judgment to come. Come with me to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood come. Till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Now again, there are those who look at these things in view of AD 70. We're to particularly consider these things in view of the great day to come. So many were not ready in Noah's day, and it's a solemn fault. So many will not be ready before the day, the great day to come. Consider how they laughed at Noah. They despised him. Has he warned them graciously and lovingly to repent of their sin and warn them of judgment? They laughed at him. And nothing's changed. Many laugh at gospel preachers as they preach on the judgment to come. Sadly, there are some churches who often pass by this subject in fear of offending. We're hearing this terminology heard often today, user-friendly services. How often people are not being told their need of Christ because they're not being told clearly that they need to flee to him. Churches are passing this subject by. Our Lord did not pass this subject by. He made it plain here. Many pass it by. Sadly, many laugh at the gospel preacher. Oh, we need to give attention to these things. Well, let's think of this a little further. Firstly, in Noah's day, they thought themselves secure. It would not happen. Noah preached, but they dismissed it. They thought themselves secure. It will be all right. And how many are saying that today? They think themselves secure. How many woke up this morning in this country, thought all was well, and will enter eternity tonight and be shocked and consumed with terrors, as we see in Psalm 73? How many think all is right for them, all is well? How many think themselves secure? They have no real care for the gospel. Many think, though they despise the gospel, they're going to heaven. They're unprepared. They think themselves secure. Surely God will think on me when I die. Look what I've done. I've sought to do good in this life. How many are not prepared? They're trusting that all is well. They think themselves secure. And then secondly, consider the carelessness in Noah's day. They didn't care. And how many do not care today? They do not care about the welfare of their soul. They do not care that they hear of judgment to come. They live as they please. They go on as though nothing has been said. They don't seek the Lord. Now notice verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came. They carried on eating, drinking, marrying. They carried on living for this world, indulging themselves in the things of this life. And that's the testimony of many tonight. They're living for this world. Eating, drinking, marrying, they carry on carrying on for this world. And they're not living for eternity, yet we are so near to eternity. How many will enter eternity tonight, Yet today, they live for this world. They indulge themselves in this world. Remember the parable of the rich farmer in Luke 11, verse 16 to 20. Our Lord made some solemn truths so abundantly known. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake the parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? It's the spirit of so many. The thinking of themselves, this life. New building projects around this chapel and in this village. It's happening again and again. New buildings are going up. And they make their plans. I want to have this. I want to have this new building. They're living for this world and they've no thought for eternity. So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. How many are preparing for retirement? Now, it's a good thing. I'm not despising. We need to make plans for our retirement or change. But how many are just planning for retirement to take their ease when they get to 60, 65, 70 or whatever? And they know thought of their soul. They know thought of eternity. I say again, how many will face eternity tonight unprepared? How many are just living for this world? Their eyes are only set on this world. They think themselves secure. They're careless about their soul. They're unprepared. How many will be unprepared as they face death this week? And how many will be unprepared in view of that great day? It will be too late if they flee not to Christ. Notice verse 39 here in Matthew 24. And knew not until the flood come. Those are solemn words, aren't they? And yet Noah was preaching. He told them of the flood that was coming. He preached year in, year out. But they knew not. You see, they did not have saving knowledge within. They did not have saving faith. They were not looking to the Lord. They were dismissing. They were not believing the truth. And they knew not until the flood came. What a solemn thing it will be for those who know not until the day of judgment comes. They do not look to the Lord. They do not believe the truth. It will be too late. You look back over this past week. How many has it been too late for? When they died and entered eternity. And as we look forward to the great day, how many will find it is too late? What about you? If you were to die tonight, would it be too late? If the Lord was to come tonight, would it be too late? Verse 39, and they knew not until the flood come and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be too late. You think of those people when the flood came. It was too late for them. They would have remembered what Noah had preached. And how many, when it's too late, will remember what they were told here upon earth? It is too late. They were told to go unto Jesus, but they wouldn't. They were told to flee to Christ, but they wouldn't. And it's too late for them now. There is still opportunity. If you're without Christ, Go to him, seek him while ye have the time, as we see in Isaiah 55. It will be too late for many on that great day. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3, we read, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." They say peace and safety. So many are just sitting in their houses tonight. All's well. I've got my riches. I've got my health. They may not have it for much longer. How many cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction? Death comes, and then in the view of the great day, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Too late. If you're without Christ here tonight, remember, if you flee not to Christ, it will be too late at death. Too late on that great day. In Revelation 1 verse 7 we read, "And they also which pierced him in all kindreds of the earth shall well because of him. Even so, amen." The word well, it speaks of from the Greek to beat the breast. And there'll be so many beating their breast on that great day. They'll be so troubled. They'll be so taken that they did not believe. But they will still hate Christ. I trust no one on that day will be beating their breast. Why did I not believe, but still hating Christ? Not prepared. So many people are not prepared because they don't hear. So many are not hearing this, even when they gather in churches. Sadly, so many modern churches have forgotten to lovingly warn people of the wrath to come. Our Lord made it so plain. And I lovingly tell you tonight, if you're without Christ, flee to my Saviour, ere it be too late. Unprepared. Well, let's close and consider thirdly, ready for the return of Christ. Come with me to verse 42. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Watch. Now we think here, Christians are to be watching. Watch is a particular word for the Lord's people. Watch therefore. There's to be this anticipation. And so our minds ought to often go to consider the return of Christ. Yes, we're to be living in this world. Remember the words of Christ, "Occupy till I come." We're not to be so taken up that we do not get on with living for the Lord in this world. But there is to be this anticipation, watching. "I watch for the Lord, I wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." Watching and being ready. Are we ready tonight? Now in chapter 25 we have the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, but 5 were not. Come with me to verse 6 of chapter 25. "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You think of those who were not ready. And as you think of the parable of the 10 virgins. It represents those who are in the visible church. And we think of the 5 foolish. They were look-alike Christians. Yet they weren't ready. And what our Lord is showing there, that there are those in the church, they look like a Christian. They come along to church. They join in, they sing, they pray. But they have not faith in him. And they're not ready. They haven't life within. They have not the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit is given to those who believe. And they're not ready. They're solemn words, aren't they? The door was shut. The bridegroom came and the door was shut. Lord, Lord, open to us. But then consider the other 5. They were ready. They had grace within. They had come to faith in Jesus Christ. They were truly the Lord's people. They were ready for his return. They were in anticipation of the bridegroom. Make haste, my beloved. They were waiting for the great marriage day of the Lamb. They were ready. Are you in anticipation? Are you waiting for the great marriage day of the Lamb? When the whole church will be brought to Christ? Are you ready? Last week, Typhoon Chan Hom went along the east coast of China, winds of over 107 miles per hour. Well, almost 1 million people were evacuated from those coastal areas before the typhoon struck. And so there was preparation. So many people were ready, over 1 million. Well, I tell you this, over millions and millions and millions of people are ready for the coming of the Lord. So many of them are already in glory. Many are here upon earth. Are you ready? Are you in that number who is ready for the return of Christ? Are you looking? All will be well for the believer. How can I know if I'm ready? Is if I fled to Christ for refuge. Have you fled to him? You may have been attending church for many years. Have you fled to Christ? The parable of the 10 virgins, there's the look-alike Christians there, the church attenders. Have you fled to Christ? Are you ready? All will be well for the believer on that day. They will find themselves on the right hand of Christ, as we see in Matthew 25. And after the judgment, this will be said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, ye blessed of my Father." Dear brethren, we feel so unworthy, but we are ready because we have Christ, and he will say to us, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. All will be well. We'll stand before the judgment." But he will have all the glory. Others will know that I was a great sinner, but I had a great Savior. He will have the glory. And we, dear brethren, will inherit the kingdom. We will go with Jesus. All will be well. You're ready if you have Christ. Dear young ones, you're ready if you are believing. There was once a young Indian girl in America, and she came into contact with a missionary. The missionary told her of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she came to faith. Her heart was opened. And the little girl responded to the missionary with tears in her eyes. "How can my friends choose that dreadful place called hell?" And then she turned to her friends who gathered and said, "Oh, please come to my Savior. Do not shut him out of your heart. Dear unconverted friend, oh, go to my oh, lovely Savior. Do not shut him out. If you receive Christ, you will be ready for the day to come. And you will be able to join in with the rest of the Lord's people in saying, "Make haste, my beloved." As we close, as we think of that great day, the great things that are going to happen, can you tonight, with peace in your heart as you sit in the pew, say, even so come, Lord Jesus. If you can't, search your heart. And if you're not a Christian, ask that he would come to your heart. Go to him, and that he would come to your heart. All will be well. We do not know the day or the hour when he's coming. That being the case, it is vital that we know now if we are ready to meet him. It is vital then, if you're without Christ, you do not delay, but you flee to the Saviour. You may have been attending church for a number of years, but if you're not a Christian, flee to the Saviour this very night. All will be well. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. He's coming. The brethren, the judge is coming. But what a blessing to know that when I see the judge, I will see the face of my beloved Saviour. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. O gracious God, we thank thee. We have been reminded of this great event that one day will be coming. Lord, we fear so many around this place and in this nation are careless. They think themselves secure. Many will know not until the day comes. O Lord, we pray that yet many would flee to Christ. May there not be one person in this building tonight not ready tonight, O gracious God. And may we be thinking often of his return. Lord, is it we do not think often of it at times because we're too worldly, we're too earthly in our thinking. Lord, help us to think of our beloved's return. Make haste, my beloved, and in the meanwhile help us to occupy, to live for thee, to make known thee in this world. O gracious God, we fear that many, if thou wast to come tonight in this nation, would be striking their breasts in total horror. O may yet many flee to Christ. May many hearts be opened. O gracious God, help us to live in view of eternity. Help us to be mindful that thou dost hold our life. Help us not to boast of the morrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Help us to live each day in view of eternity. O gracious God, help us to set our affections on things above. Lord, we live in a day like Noah, where so many despise the preaching of the gospel. Many despise the message of judgment. O may yet many flee for refuge. May yet many flee from the wrath to come. And we who love thee, how can we thank thee enough that on that great day, though we will stand before the judgment seat, we will lift up our heads and see the face of our beloved Saviour. And after the judgment, we will hear his voice, come ye blessed of my Father. Lord, we are blessed not because of anything we have done, but because of thy grace and our Saviour. And the blessings that await, the happiness that we shall know, is all because of thee. And we thank thee, O Lord, we have eternity with Christ to look forward to. O Lord, help us to sin the less in view of the judgment day, and to love Christ the more. Hear our prayers. For Christ's sake, amen. Turn with me to our final psalm, Psalm 50. This psalm looks forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ our God shall come. It shows plainly that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in verse 3. Keep silent, shall not he? Before him fire shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. And to the heavens clear he from above shall call, and to the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all. Together let my saints unto me gathered be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. We're listening to the voice of Christ there. And then the heavens shall his righteousness declare. And there in this psalm from the Lord's hymn book, we're shown that Christ will have all the glory on that great day, his righteousness declare. Because the Lord himself is he by whom men judged are. Psalm 50, we're going to sing from verse 3 to verse 6. The tune is Kalil, our God shall surely come.
God.